Thank you, Tom. So I work in Cornell. I have statewide responsibilities for nutrient management, and we primarily focus on working with the dairy industry since it's such an important industry for us in the state of New York. What I wanted to do here is share some findings on our assessment of whole farm nutrient balances, and particularly nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in this case, for New York State as a state, but also for the Upper Susquehanna watershed as the headwaters of the Chesapeake Bay. Before I dive into the trends, I want to explain what we mean by a whole farm nutrient balance. Basically, what we do here is we look at whole farm balances as a tool for adaptive management. Basically, something that a farmer could measure on the farm on an annual basis, try to use it to troubleshoot and see what the opportunities for improvement are, and then to monitor, using the same tool, monitor progress over time. So we basically take the farm, we draw a big boundary around it, and we look at what does the farm bring in the form of nutrients, NPK, in feed, fertilizer, animals that might be brought onto the farm, or any bedding material that comes across the farm boundary. And then we look at what the exports are for that farm in terms of the product. In this case, we work with dairy, so milk primarily. And we look at what the exports are in terms of animals that might be leaving the farm one way or another. And we look at crop sales that might occur on these farms, or exports of manure as another fourth pool. So very simplistic approach, four major imports, four major exports. We take the difference between those in terms of total amount of NPK, and we calculate two types of balances. One is taking the difference and dividing it per acre cropland on the farm, and the other one is naming that same number and dividing it by the amount of milk produced by that farm. So we get a per hundredweight of milk nutrient use efficiency indicator. There's two indicators here, and both are important, as I will point out in the next coming slides. But basically, per tillable acre gives us a sense of what the land base is for nutrient recycling of that balance. And the per hundredweight is more of an efficiency indicator for milk production itself. Why do we care about these balances? Well, we were looking for a tool for whole farm evaluation, not just on the field side, not just benchmarks on the nutrition side with our nutrition colleagues, but how do we put this together and develop something that gives a farm an idea on the whole farm level as to what the status is for those nutrients? And realizing also that negative balances are not desirable over the long term, because they mean we're systematically exporting more of those nutrients than we are importing, and we can't do that forever. We also realize that excessively positive balances are not desirable, because that means we're consistently bringing in more nutrients than we are exporting in the form of the products that we're trying to generate. So we know that the balance needs to be positive, greater than zero, because we are dealing with biological systems and nothing is 100% efficient. We know they cannot be excessive. We don't, at that stage, didn't quite know where the optimum was. But it was intriguing enough for us to take this approach and start working with farms to measure what their balance was, to analyze why it was the way it was, and to adjust management over time in an attempt to improve the environmental footprint. What we give farmers to participate in this is their mass balance numbers, and we portray it a couple of different ways. This is one of them, where we put their dot on the map, and we see here milk production per cow on the x-axis, and on the y-axis an example of a balance, in this case the phosphorus balance per acre. We plot the farm on there, and we plot all the other farms in the database on there. So the farm can start looking at how they compare to their peers that are producing the same amount of milk per cow in this case. That will make them realize that if you are the farm with the circle dot on this chart here, and you compare yourself to one of the other farms with the same milk production level, that in this case, that farm was using three times as much phosphorus to produce the same amount of milk. And normally when you show that to a farm, it starts conversations. The other thing that we do with the farms, if they participate for multiple years, is show them their results over time. So we can look at trends for individual farms. And this is an example of a farm that participated for 10 or so years and is looking at the trends over time and has shown that it could drastically reduce the balances over time. without giving up on milk production. So this is a monitoring tool as well as a awareness tool and a potential tool to track down where the opportunities for improvement are. The one thing we couldn't tell them up until this year or last year was, where's the target? What should we be shooting for? So where is this optimal level that we should be farming with? If we could set targets, then we could start looking at what type of management is associated with a certain level of a mass balance, and I start identifying opportunities for improvement. So we started looking at a database. The biggest database for one single year we had to start looking at was a database we collected in 2006 that had 102 farms in it. And we see here on the top the nitrogen balances and the phosphorus balances are ranged from most negative to the most positive. So these are all the farms just ranked from negative balances on the left to positive balances on the right. And you see a big scatter, minus 35 pounds per acre for nitrogen up to 211 for the most excessive balance, and for phosphorus minus 7 to 45. This is pounds of P per acre. Our first go around for this was to say, if 3 out of 4 farms can do it, maybe the fourth one can too. So we looked at what 75% of the farms were able to achieve. And that 75% benchmark for nitrogen was 105 pounds of nitrogen per acre, and for phosphorus it was 12 pounds of phosphorus per acre. And it seems a little bit arbitrary, right? 3 out of 4, that's our benchmark. We did approach that in a couple of other ways as well. One thing we also realized, though, was that we shouldn't be just looking at pounds per acre. We should also look at the production efficiencies, the pounds per hundredweight. And to show an example of this is on the chart on the bottom with milk production and end balance. And if you take the farms that are in the squares here, the farm on the left hand, this farm, was producing with the same balance as the one on the right, but drastically different milk production on a pound per acre basis. So the farm on the left, this farm, was a lot more high producing, lower producing, sorry, 5,000 pounds per acre, compared to the farm that here, the farms that are here that are 17,000 pounds of milk per acre. So we got to keep that pound per acre and pound per hundred weight together in the picture when we analyze what the best optimum range is to be shooting for, both the pounds per acre cropland and the pounds per acre milk produced. The farms that consistently operate below the 75% feasible balances, this is for nitrogen and for phosphorus, that 3 out of 4 farms, we had some long-term participants that we could monitor over time. These were all high-producing farms, and we wanted to make sure that these high-producing long-term participants could actually meet those benchmarks, the 75% benchmarks. And what we're seeing with this example of those 4 farms is that they were all consistently able to operate underneath those benchmarks within those feasible ranges for 4 or 5 years in a row. 2 started out above the line, 1 started out negative. In the last 5 years of the study with these farms, they were all converging into the optimum zone here for pounds per acre, both for nitrogen and for phosphorus per acre, and for nitrogen per hundredweight, and for phosphorus per hundredweight. So 3 out of 4 farms could do it. We also saw in the database that farms that are efficiently operated can do it for a long time. And we did some theoretical calculations for phosphorus and basically ended up concluding that these feasible benchmarks are a good starting point for us in New York. It is coming from New York farms, New York data. We can start moving with this. So here are the feasible balances. On the left, the pounds per acre. On the right, the pounds per hundredweight. The numbers here, per acre numbers, low risk of losing nutrients to the environment if you're in that feasible range. Per hundredweight, high nutrient use efficiency among the farms in the database. But what we really want the farms to be striving for is to meet both these benchmarks, both the per acre and the per hundredweight numbers. And that we gave a new definition, and this looks a little more complicated than it actually is, but basically we're striving for farms to meet the feasible balances and be in the green box here. If they are in the green box here, they meet the balances per hundredweight, they are underneath this line, and they also meet the feasible balances per acre, sorry. They also meet the feasible balances per hundredweight because they're underneath this diagonal. So if a farm is in the green zone, it is meeting the feasible balances per acre and per hundredweight, both. If they're in the blue zone here, they're meeting the balance per acre, but they're not among the most efficient per hundredweight. If they are in the yellow box, they are efficiently producing their milk, but they might not have the acreage to deal with those nutrients, so they're not meeting the balance per acre. So now we can go back to these farms and give them their results and plot their numbers on this diagram. And we have a whole bunch of indicators we looked at in correlation with those balances that we can give them some input on. So here's an example. You probably cannot read it from the back of this room here. So here's the blow up. We have some indicators where we are looking at things like percentage homegrown feed. If it's less than 62 to 65% homegrown feed, you have a high risk of exceeding the feasible balance for phosphorus. So this is just one example of an indicator that we're looking for, so we can give some feedback to the farm and say, you know, maybe it's on the fertilizer side, maybe it's on the nutrition side, maybe there's some other things that we could look at to try to improve these balances over time. So that's all on a per farm basis. We've been working with farms over the last decade or so, on these whole farm balances. But we started realizing we can scale this up. We can look at the bigger picture. And that's where the watershed approach comes in. So New York, the southern tier of New York, this is the upper Susquehanna watershed, is the headwaters of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. And what we wanted to look at with the farms in the upper Susquehanna and in the state of New York was what are the trends? So how have we changed over the last many years with regard to mass balances? These states in the Chesapeake Bay are required to reduce their nitrogen and phosphorus pools from agriculture to achieve certain water quality goals. And our objective here was to evaluate our whole farm balances to see what kind of progress had been made and what the potential for further progress is. So we conducted these mass balances with the farms in the state of New York and the region. 570 of these mass balances were conducted, total data set of about 189 New York dairy farms, including 91 that were in the upper Susquehanna watershed. This was the diagram we're looking at, and it's actually a neat metric for us to compare trends over time with. So if we remember the optimal operational zone that we are striving for, basically, we looked at, in the beginning years, how many of the farms were in that zone. And at the end of our 10-year assessment, how many had reached the level to be in that box. So the green box, number of farms in the green box is what we started looking at. And here are the trends. The trends for these farms, the first data sets were from 2004. The last ones are 2013 in this particular study. And we're looking at the number of farms in that green box. We have balances here on the top for New York and on the bottom for the upper Susquehanna watershed portion. And what we're basically seeing here is that over time, despite the variability from year to year that we should be expecting with weather and everything else going on in the dairy industry, the trends have been upward. So many more farmers now are in that green zone, in that green box, than were in 2004 when we started measuring this. And that's very consistent with the negative trends in cropland NMP balances that we are seeing for New York and particularly for the upper SAS, and very consistent with the decline in the percentage of fields that test excessive for phosphorus over that time period. If we do the sum of the reductions, if we take the farms that we have in this database and we extrapolate those findings to the farms in the watershed, we end up with an estimate of a reduction in total NMP imports comparing 2004, the starting year, or 2013, the last complete year, of 66 million pounds of nitrogen and almost 7 million pounds of phosphorus, less imported onto the farms in that time period. Upper SUS shows the exact same type of trends. The numbers are smaller, of course, because it's a smaller portion of the state of New York. So tremendous reductions in mass balances over that time period as a result of that we were able to document as a result of the fact that these farms participated in that mass balance. We wanted to know how that compares to the TMDL, total maximum daily load, that is being imposed on New York State as part of the Chesapeake Bay. And we get these charts. The ones in the top, the blue ones, this is nitrogen without fixation, nitrogen with fixation. The blue bars are the actual mass balance numbers. These are the scenarios if 75% of what the excess nitrogen is on the New York farms or the Upper Sus farms here contributes to the Chesapeake Bay. This is if 50% contributes, and this is if 25% of that total balance directly ends up in the Chesapeake Bay. These are delivery factors. The red line is the TMDL imposed on New York. And what you're seeing here is that for the tremendous improvements that the farms have made between 2004 and 2013, has us already down, pretty much down to acceptable levels for nutrient balances for the Chesapeake Bay TMDL. Looking at the delivery factors here, so we're basically, based on these numbers, saying that the Upper Susquehanna dairies can deliver up to 50% of their nitrogen pool and up to 70% of their phosphorus pool and still meet the TMDL. Delivery factors in the Chesapeake Bay model for phosphorus in our portion of the world are between 0.4 and 0.5. So we're already there for the TMDL for phosphorus. For nitrogen, those factors are a little bit higher. We still have some opportunities there. So, summary for the assessment, the mass balances have decreased over the last 10 years, 30 to 40% reductions depending on the nutrients, 30 to 50% reductions for the upper sus. Milk production in that time was not impacted. More farms now are in that green box, the optimum operational zone. The reductions are primarily from reduced nitrogen imports, feed imports primarily, and a shift in what they are feeding their cows, so lower NNP content of the overall diet, nutrition aspects that have been improved, and a larger portion of homegrown forages that is really helping with the balances. And the extrapolation of the findings for these farms that were in this study are showing that those farms can deliver up to 50% of their nitrogen pool and up to 70% of their phosphorus pool at the edge of the farm and still meet the TMDL set for New York in 2025. With that, I want to thank the farmers and the farm advisors that worked with us on this, including NRCS and extension staff and crop consultants, the private sector. And our funding sources here, Northern New York Ag Development Program, Northeast SARE, Federal Formula Funds, and a CIG grant that all contributed to a 10-year time span of mass balance collection. We have a website if you want to look at the tool itself or the documents that go along with it. This is the website to look at. And with that, we'll open it up for some questions if we have time.
We can take a quick question. We're also at break time. We're going to be a 10-minute break, but if somebody wants to ask a question, go ahead.
Can you perhaps give us an idea of what some of the
so a lot of farms have started to look at their nutrition programs and looking at, for phosphorus primarily, lower P ingredients, purchased feed. On the nitrogen side, fine-tuning of their crude protein profiles. That has helped a lot. On the crop side, it is really the movement towards more and more homegrown forages and homegrown feed in general, forages and grains, that have made a difference. Those are the primary
pasture-based forage, so they're out on pasture that the forage is being grown and harvested off.
A lot of harvested confined animal feeding operations in here. There are pasture operations in here too. But basically, it's made people look a little closer at their crop production systems. And one of the metrics is how do you compare in crop production to your peers? So awareness of I might have potential to grow more was playing a role here too. We have also in New York seen a drastic decrease in phosphorus fertilizer use over the same time period.
Okay.